It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the only Gadget Grill on this side of the planet that we currently are aware of. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark. Good evening.
Good evening, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Gadget Grill.
And you sound real excited about it.
I'm terribly excited about it.
You should be
terribly
happy.
Terribly excited. I'm incredibly, as opposed to terribly, I'm awfully excited. They're just the wrong words to be used with this episode of the Gadget Grill, because tonight we are going out of this world
again
to Queensland.
Yes,
we're going out of this world to Queensland. That's right. Our Queensland listeners will be very happy to know that we actually talked to one of you for a change instead of spoke behind your back.
Yeah. It's been a big week. There's been a lot happening this week in the IT and gadget world, hasn't there?
There has. And while a lot's been happening, tonight we'll also be speaking to someone who really knows their stuff, which is better than us, because we're going to be looking for extra terrestrial life outside of...
We're looking for intelligent life somewhere. We certainly haven't found it here in the studio.
No. There's some algae growing on the window here.
Oh.
That could be intelligent. We haven't tested yet.
Yeah, and I saw Kermit out in the pond earlier.
Wow, your jokes, there's no end to your bad jokes. They just start the show. We've been on the air for, a minute and a half?
About that.
And your bad jokes just... They're here already. Is that it? They're here.
They just come through with osmosis.
I seriously hope that your bad jokes are not the intelligent life we're looking for. The dad joke is
you
the intelligent life.
You want the good or the bad news, Lee?
At this point, I'll take the good news, hoping it's not the bad news in the exact same sort of time.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I want to get started too.
So what do we got on the Gadget Grill this week? Well, besides searching for intelligent life.
All right. Well, on the Gadget Grill this week, we've got a useless gadget. We've got several. One sitting in the studio right now staring at me. And we've also got a whole bunch
of
news.
Why were you looking at me when you said that?
Because you're kind of weird and you're sitting next to the gadget. You're actually sitting across from the gadget.
Yeah.
So, but we've got a whole bunch of news. It was a really populated week for news this week. You know, lots of stuff.
Lots of interesting rumors.
Yeah, lots of interesting rumors.
Rumors about rumors and rumors about rumors about rumors.
And some of them were even in 3D.
Oh, yes.
But right now we'll get started into some music here. I figured we'd start the show off on some jazz for a change, even though we're ending on sort of jazz. We're going to start the show off with the Casualties of Jazz, who are Black Sabbath copy sort
Black
of things.
Black Sabbath tribute band in a jazz realm.
If you like Black Sabbath, you will adore this, and if you love jazz, because jazz, it's not for everyone. It's better than that, except for in this song, because it's for everyone. This is the Casualties of Jazz with The Wizard.
I'm Jace.
Hi, I'm Maria.
Join us from 5 p.m. this Monday on 2 JFM for all the latest in pop music, giveaways, traffic and Sid Rail updates.
We update the weekend in sports, including cricket, NASCAR, Indy Racing League and more.
Plus, interviews, local and special events, current issues, special guests and after-school detention.
That's Monday from 5 p.m. on 88.1 2RDJ FM. And online at www.radio2rdj.com.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the inner west. If you're listening to us on a radio, good for you. You still have one, and I'm very proud of you. And I would love you to know that radios rock. But if you don't have a radio, and you're listening to us through clouds or atmospheric interference, or perhaps for a really, 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 really big satellite dish, you can also head to www.radio2rdj.com, where you can listen to us. Or, if you so choose, you can hit our own website, where you can find out about this show and all the other 30-odd ridiculous shows we've done at www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Right now,
or you could do none of the above and totally ignore the last 30 seconds.
You could go and get a donut or some Chinese food. We just had some great Chinese food. We're full. We're full of something, that's for sure. And right now we're completely full of news. So you can start, because you've got more than I do for a change.
Okay. A couple of stories from the local constabulary here, actually.
We have a constabulary?
We have constabulary.
A constabulary?
Constabulary. Yeah, constabulary, yes. Queensland Police Fraud Squad are going to be going on war driving missions.
Heard about this, yeah.
To warn homes and businesses if their wireless networks are not secure.
I got a question. Why is this their...
It's crime prevention. If you, you know, because it's illegal to steal somebody else's internet
bandwidth. What if you're donating it to everyone?
Well, then you can tell the police that that's what you're doing, but and that's fine, and there are actually people who do that.
I have another question, though. Are the police that good to do it? And if the police jump onto your IP, aren't they technically stealing your IP at the same time?
Not necessarily. They're just war driving, looking for open networks, and I guess they can triangulate it and find out where it's coming from and so on.
That's a new way to get porn.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. The other one that is related to the police, if I can just find it here, I thought I had it there, is the Victorian police are starting to Twitter.
Oh, are they as useless as me when they Twitter?
No,
I just tweeted what I ate.
On a similar track, they're actually going to be using Twitter to warn people of to remind people about drink driving when they shouldn't be drink driving. And they're going to be twittering messages something like, you know, sort of, we've just picked up so-and-so who blew 0.0.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't want to interfere with driving. Hold on, did you see my Twitter, mate? No, I was too busy driving, you know.
Yeah.
But that's kind of cool.
So, the police are using some interesting some technology in interesting ways. I think it's good.
That's kind of cool. Another company using technology in an interesting way, but overcharging for it, is Disney, who are doing what we have long since expected people to do. Goodbye, DVD. Hello, microSD. Of course, there's a catch. What they're doing is Disney are going to start putting some of their movies on microSD cards. And that's not so different from the Blu-ray discs that come with a DVD copy, so you can watch them both, which is a really good idea. I think quite a few of their new movies do that. But they're going to package them with DVDs. They're saying in Japan at the moment. And so you'll get a DVD and a microSD with a movie on it, and it will cost you more than the cost of the DVD or the Blu-ray, which I think I'll just stick with digital copy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Palm have released the pre in America.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever come out here.
Well, I think it will, but of course they also had music synchronization with iTunes,
That's
didn't
right.
they?
They had it, and then Apple patched it.
And Palm have released a new version of their operating system, which re-enables it.
See, this is going to be a constant fight between
This
Apple.
Is going to be yeah. an interesting battle. Apple are fighting quite a few different fights on those sort of things, because you've got the unlocking of the iPhone, and you've got now iTunes access on the Palm Pre.
I've always been worried about the whole iTunes thing, because it's a piece of software that is okay. It's not brilliant, but it seems it's entirely locked off to every other device, and it just seems stupid. I mean, I love some of the Apple products, but I'm stuck on the concept that the iPod Shuffle's aluminium-based, the iPod Nano's aluminium-based, the iPod Classic has metal around it, the iPod Touch has metal around it, so why doesn't the iPhone, the most expensive Apple device, have any metal casing? It's just entirely plastic. Huh? They can't say Wi-Fi because the iPod Touch has it.
No.
Anyway, moving on. New piece of technology. It looks like it's in the works. The University of Liverpool, as well as Ford and another mob called GSI, are working on the possibility of a laser ignition system for your car, and it will replace the spark plug, apparently. What I'm reading here is that laser energy is transmitted through free space into an optical plug.
That's interesting, because you need to cause the ignition, you need a physical spark.
Apparently it's using fiber optics with it.
It's very interesting. So I can see fiber optics being very useful in the ignition chain.
Internal combustion lasers.
That's very interesting. I'd like to know more about that.
Well, I'll find out. Maybe we can get them on the show. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be great. That'd but
be fantastic.
Next week.
No, not next week, because we've got something better next week.
This week, of course, you probably heard about JB Hi-Fi having a fun day with their internet site and putting $15.
Oh, yes. I didn't get to buy one, sadly.
I missed
the $15.
Somebody apparently ordered 65 of the things. I think that's...
So what was it quickly for those who weren't paying attention?
They had a slight misprint on their website. Slight misprint. They were supposed to be offering a 15% discount on LCD TVs. And instead of a 15% discount, they were $15.
You're the sort of person who would have taken them to hell and back to get that $15
TV. What they've done as a sweetener is that for those people who ordered one, they're offering a further $500 discount.
That's not so bad, but it's not the same as a $15 TV.
No, it's not. Well, especially when you consider that they were giving away a second
TV. So a $7.50 TV. Yeah. Or maybe a $10 TV and a $5 TV to go with it. YouTube this week are playing with 3D. Just like the rest of the world, they're playing with... movie cinemas are now saying, hey, come to cinemas, there are movies in 3D. You can't get this at home. Coraline's about to come out. That movie's excellent, but I haven't seen it in 3D. So... Anyway, YouTube are playing with 3D, and the option, like, you have to record in 3D, so it means you need one of those 3D cameras, which are expensive and can only be bought places like Japan and America. But once you get it, you can put on your red and blue glasses or some parallel glasses, or you could even go cross-eyed.
Or you could put on your pocket protector.
No. Oh. You could actually put your head to the screen and move all the way back sort of thing.
But you could squint a little bit like those pictures they had in the 70s and 80s.
I think it's got the mirror split in there so you can use... YouTube are playing with them. So if you've got red and blue glasses from maybe you bought Spy Kids 3D, you were the poor...
Anything on YouTube would be better than Spy Kids.
Hey, Spy Kids 3D was actually pretty good. Robert Rodriguez is a great director. It was Sharkboy and Lavagirl. That was awful.
I can't believe you.
Yeah.
Speaking of good... Boffins at a Swiss chocolate company have created a new chocolate, which will not melt in your hands and has 90% fewer calories.
Would have been great for me during dessert of July.
Caliber say they have created the thing called a volcano bar, which is said to taste like a regular treat rather than a diet
one. I've heard this before.
By accident.
Oh. Okay, I haven't heard that before.
According to the bosses there, the new choc will only melt at temperatures over 55 degrees.
So that puts Texas in square aim.
Yep. Although it'll melt in the mouth because of enzymes in our saliva.
Hmm.
So...
But I have trouble believing it'll taste the same.
So do I. I think we should ask them for some road test samples.
Yeah, can it wait till after July's over so I can get over this dessert of July thing?
Well, it's Switzerland, so by the time,
we get to it, it'll be next year.
Yeah.
That's good. It'll be next year's dessert of July.
Yeah. You got a last item?
Last item? Yeah, let's talk quickly about iPhone and augmented reality in Google. Google have finally brought over Google Latitude that was on Androids to the iPhone.
Right.
It's a web app because Apple don't think we know how to spot the difference between maps, their mapping solution, and Google's Latitude thing.
Well done, Apple. We are not intelligent at all.
No. That's why we're searching for intelligent life after this thing.
That's
and
right.
Apparently, augmented reality, the thing where you hold a device up to, with a camera up to something, and you see an extra thing pop up over it, augmented reality is set to come in the iPhone with possibly 3.1, the OS 3.1. So you'll be able to be connected to the web and see basically your own virtual billboard over everything. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Oh, fantastic. I'm underwhelmed.
You've got one final news item, haven't you?
I've got, it's not a news item so much, it's just a noteworthy item.
Noteworthy item.
And today we all should sing happy birthday to Sir Michael Philip.
Wait, no, we shouldn't sing happy birthday. He can sing it himself.
Okay.
So, yeah, go on.
Okay. We should observe today is the birthday of Sir Michael Philip Jagger, who was born on this day in the year 1943.
Bastard, not 1942. Anyway.
So that makes him, 66 years old?
Mm.
66
and still an amazing rocker. Oh. And to celebrate Mr. Mick Jagger's birthday from the Rolling Stones, here's the Rolling Stones with Honky Tonk Woman.
Turn it up loud.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is not Lee Stark. My name is Gary Stark.
And right now, that echo is just amazing tonight.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Tonight, we are talking about intelligent life outside of our galaxy. Well, not quite. We're talking about the search for it, because continuing on from last week, where we talked about basically how you can explore the universe from your own chair, sort of, because we're all lazy and we can't afford rocket ships to the moon and whatnot. Tonight we're talking about talking to someone who kind of sits and looks for intelligent life from his chair.
And he was a very interesting gentleman to talk with as well.
It was
a fascinating conversation with this gentleman.
I apologise if some of the stuff might seem a bit over your head. Listen in, and we will be putting it online for you to hear it later on. I will be trying to put a version that includes more stuff, because we asked a lot of stuff. This guy knows his stuff. I think that would be the stuff I would say.
Let's have a listen to what Mr. Noel Wellstead from SETI has to say.
My name's Noel Wellstead. My career is actually in computers, but I'm also the director of the SETI Research and Community Development Institute up here in Brisbane.
Okay, so just quickly, or not even quickly, if you want, what is SETI?
Okay, well, SETI is an acronym for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and that label was given it many, many years ago, and it's sort of propagated through up until today's time, and now everybody talks about SETI, and you see that in movies and on TV and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, that's what it all means. It's the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. But it is not the search for UFOs and, paranormal-type stuff. You know, it is a bona fide search for evidence of other civilizations on other planets.
I guess I should ask what the difference is.
Well, the difference is that we don't think, and I'm in the SETI community, we don't think that there are other civilizations visiting the Earth, doing things like going around in England and drawing crop circles and all that sort of stuff. We don't believe that sort of happening, so we're not out looking in the night skies looking for UFOs or other types of things. What we're doing is we're trying to detect electromagnetic evidence of technological civilizations in space. Their technology may be detectable from Earth in the form of radio waves. I mean, the Earth here, we've been using radio waves for well over 50 years now, fairly strong radio transmitters, and those transmitters beam out into space. They don't just go over the hill into your living room. They go all over the universe. They head out into space. So we've been polluting the radio spectrum for about 50 years now. We could be called the great radio spectrum polluters of the universe. I don't know, but certainly other civilizations may have detected our transmissions, and they may in fact have detected us and have sent some sort of message back. So,
or alternatively, Noel, they may be polluting just as we are.
Well, exactly, that's correct. But the interesting thing is that a technological civilization, that's interested in things like perhaps astronomy, would have discovered a long time ago that it's possible to map the universe at certain wavelengths, radio frequencies, and if they were listening, say, to radio traffic from the Earth, they would notice that there would be clear holes where there was no transmitters transmitting, and those holes tend to be important areas for astronomy research, radio astronomy research, in fact, and those holes are where people tend to listen and where they have their very sensitive radio receivers running, listening to the hiss of hydrogen or the hiss of water vapor or a lot of the other elements that can be detected by radio astronomy. They would have already realized that we weren't transmitting in those areas.
Has there been anything to suggest in the past? I mean, SETI's been going on for quite a while now. Has there been anything that's ever come through to suggest that it's working, that someone is actually listening?
There's the very famous radio reception that occurred at the Big Ear Radio Telescope. It's commonly referred to as the WOW signal, and it's talked about in SETI circles, and it's popularized in the movies, It was the reception of a radio transmission of some sort of a signal on the hydrogen frequency, and it passed all the tests for being an extraterrestrial radio source, a source away from the Earth, that was in space. And sadly, it never repeated. The signal has been looked for many, many times over the last sort of 30 years, and that signal has never repeated. But that's not something that you would expect, something like that, a fleeting signal, two antennas over very, very long distances momentarily met each other in space and received a signal. And the fact of the matter is that if we were picking up a transmission from 20 or 30 light years out from a planet that was rotating. That rotating beam of the radio transmission, that planet would have swept past the Earth, and we would have received a fleeting signal from that transmitter. And you know, unless you're listening at that spot continuously for years, you may never receive it again.
Of course. On New Mexico, that seems to be a place on Earth where a lot of things seem to happen. Is there a reason for that?
Oh, New Mexico, yeah. Well, New Mexico, I mean, the plains there are very very dry, and there's not a lot of water vapor in the atmosphere, and so it opens up a bit of a window into the cosmos that we don't normally get in other places. In fact, it's so high, the water vapor content in the atmosphere is so low that we can actually pick up other signals, and they have, I don't know if you know much about the absorption of radio signals in the atmosphere, but the higher the frequency you go, the more absorption there is in the atmosphere. And in fact, we have what's called the water hole, and you've heard that mentioned before, I'm sure. The water hole frequency is a range of frequencies where the water vapor in the atmosphere doesn't absorb those frequencies, so it's a clear window out into space.
Okay.
But the higher up in frequency you go, or the shorter the wavelength, the more absorption there is in the atmosphere. And water vapor is a great absorber of radio signals that would come in from space. And so the higher you can get in our atmosphere, the higher you can get, the less water vapor there is in the atmosphere, and so the less absorption the atmosphere has for radio signals. And so you can actually have what we call millimeter wave radio telescopes running at the Atacama Desert. And, it's, as I said, it's very, very dry, and it's perfect for infrared radio, infrared optical astronomy, and what we call millimeter wave radio astronomy as well.
Right.
A lot of people in the tech community use something called SETI at home. What is that?
Okay, that's a really, really good project. And what happens there is that the biggest radio telescope in the world, of course, is at Puerto Rico in South America. It was popularized by the film Contact with Jodie Foster.
Okay.
And what happens, SETI at home, they collect information. They have their own receivers and their own recording equipment, and they record all this information that's coming in off the radio telescope. And it's transmitted across over to Berkeley University, sliced up into little bits. And those little bits, which are called work units, sent over the internet to people like myself who run the SETI at home screensaver or analysis program. And those work units, they come down from Berkeley, and we analyze them and send the results back. And there's millions of computers around the world doing this. One of the big problems, of course, is there's so much data that having a computer to analyze all this data is really difficult. There's not very many supercomputers around that can actually analyze all this data and give results. So the cheapest and easiest way to do that is to have a distributed computing project like SETI at home, and it allows the researchers to farm out the workload to people like you and me and other interested people around the place and do the analysis for them.
So in the end, everyone's helping. Everyone's helping. Basically, the Earth find life.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, everyone's hoping, and of course, one of the greatest discoveries mankind would ever make would be the detection of another civilization in space. That would be just amazing. I mean, when you think about it, we don't know if there's life anywhere else yet. You know, we've got a lot of money, a lot of research time, and projects tied up in science, space science. And we're looking for life on Mars in our own solar system other than on the Earth. But, you know, we've never found any life anywhere else yet.
And we haven't found much in the way of intelligent life on Earth, of course, have we?
No, that's right. That's very true. That's one of the things I say, actually, is a bit of a joke to people, you know, and they say to me, have you found anything yet? And I just say to them, well, we haven't found anything down here yet.
I knew you were going to end on that. You were actually going to ask, when is it suitable that we find intelligent life? But I don't think there's a solid answer to that. I don't think there's
Well, it wasn't so much when is it suitable, but when, you know, sort of, is there any sort of a time frame where they
when
may
expect...
When
we find intelligent life here.
Well, that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating gentleman, Noel was.
Yeah, very, very fascinating. We were on the phone to him for a while.
For a long while. Just,
it was great stuff.
Wonderful stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course... we spoke a couple of weeks ago about the rover being bogged on Mars, didn't we?
That's right, we did, and but we did. If you do want to find out more about SETI, you can head to www.seti.org, and there's an Australian one, which was quite a few Australian ones. To go to the Australian one, you go to seti.org.au. There's even a SETI group in at University of Western Sydney, looks like, or UWS is what I'm seeing here.
And if you want to find out more about rovers that are bogged on Mars, then you can listen to the next piece of music.
Which is
David Bowie.
Right, sure. That was your segue.
Yes, it was.
Right, Life on Mars. Here we go. Whoa, okay.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair, but her mummy is yelling no.
Check this out!
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
...88.1 Radio 2 RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill, the only Gadget Grill that could possibly...
The only Gadget Grill this side of Mars.
Well, that was better than my segue. Yeah, I was going to say the only Gadget Grill that could possibly survive a bog on Mars. But yeah, that's better than mine. Yeah, so yeah, that works. For once, Dad, I salute you, but not for very long.
Okay, you're going to play a fanfare to salute me?
I will! You ready? I think this is licensed. I hope it is. Would you like some Pez to go with it?
That sounded like a bloody rooster crowing when you started that.
Do you like the lights that flash thing?
If only the listener could see what we're doing now. We should turn off all the lights and just let the light show carry on.
Yeah, have some Pez. Have an entire roll of Pez.
That's because a pack of Pez.
It is. What I have in my hand now is possibly one of the most useless gadgets I will ever keep in my home. So,
apart from your dad.
Hopefully you won't be in my home when I move out. I have a oversized, very, very large Pez dispenser with a Star Wars Death Star on top. That's no moon. That's a space station. And it, instead of dispensing individual...
Is that a gun in your pocket? Or you just
if that is a gun in my pocket, then every ghoul is doomed from every future and space and whatnot. I am huge! Anyway, it's a giant Death Star ball with lights. And instead of being a regular Pez dispenser, dispensing, you know, individual Pez is like a
this cool dispenses
gimmick.
Packets.
This dispenses Pez. I wanted to make a version of this that dispensed USB sticks, you know, 1 gig
yep.
USB sticks. But I'd love to see the version of this that's huge and dispenses Pez dispensers. It's like it's like the Babushka doll thing where it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and eventually it dispenses giant Pez dispensers.
So you're saying that your Star Wars Pez packet dispenser is a useless gadget?
Yeah, for $4 it absolutely was.
For $4 and it plays sound like that? That's pretty bloody good.
Now we have to listen to it again, don't we?
Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you, John Williams.
I don't really... I can't take the Pez right now because I'm on Dessertless July.
Yeah, well, that's not dessert.
That's dessert. I'm sorry. Okay. The thing is it doesn't shut up.
I guess I could hit it against the console. You know,
there, shut up now. Okay. I'll put it down. You've got a useless gadget,
I've got word of a useless gadget that's going to be coming out later on this year, and this is something
gadget pre-release.
This is a pre-release announcement of a useless gadget.
Woohoo!
Makers of that lovely alcohol, Smirnoff, are targeting music fans this Christmas with an insulating bottle jacket that has the added benefit of being fitted with a speaker and a 3.5mm input for an iPod, iPhone, or any other kind of MP3 player.
So, not being the sort that would encourage people to go out and get drunk, but this is an alcoholic gadget that sits on alcohol that encourages you to get drunk while you listen to your music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the basic way of putting it. That's what you're trying to tell me.
They apparently it's going to have parts sourced from Sony.
Right.
The model apparently sounded pretty good with its no brand speaker.
Yeah, of course.
How much they have to drink beforehand has not been revealed.
Yeah.
The jacket is designed to fit a 700ml bottle. The Smirnoff bottle jacket will keep bottles cool, plus the user's happy with music playback via the 3.5mm jack.
So, okay, well, that's not really an iPod dock. It fits any MP3 player then.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be available, apparently, exclusively from Selfridges, so we're going to have to get... We'll get some English friends to get us one and send one across so that we can have one of these. I think we need one of these.
Not in the studio, because we're not allowed to drink in the studio.
Of course not. £35.
£35 for a...
Yes.
Does it come with the vodka, though?
I would presume.
I'd hope so.
Vodka not included.
Vodka not included. You only buy the slip that goes on top. If it's you're only buying the slip, that's an expensive, you know, crappy
speaker. That's an expensive koozie.
That's an whatever that is. That's an expensive that.
Yeah.
But, okay. It's certainly interesting. I like the idea of it. We both had food-related useless gadgets today.
Yeah. Well, I guess we move now from a big container on a vodka bottle.
Your segues suck tonight. Let me just say that we're going to Tango Saloon's March the Big Shoe. I saw these guys Friday night. Actually,
my how time flies when you're having
time flies.
Fun.
My how time flies when you're confused. They weren't bad, actually. They were kind of cool. Anyway, I got this off their CD, which I bought pretty much immediately afterwards. This is Tango Saloon with March of the Big Shoe. They're Australian. Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark. Gary Stark working hard there. You can see the glow of the deck lights that he
plays
with. You
can see the glow of my nose.
Yeah, that's because it's radioactive. You've spent way too much time in front of computers over the course of your life. Have you ever wondered what that does to your sex life?
What sex life?
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's the sort of sex life I didn't want to think about. That's even better. We're going to end the show quickly with a few extra news items that have just come in. They haven't just come in. We're lying.
Just a few that were left over. It's been such a busy week.
And it has.
I thought that I couldn't leave you without letting you know that Oprah...
You couldn't leave me? Oh, that's so nice. I'm so glad you couldn't leave
Oprah Winfrey
me.
And Luke Skywalker...
What?
...could help people understand...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What? You put Oprah Winfrey and Luke Skywalker right after we just talked about the Death Star USB, the Death Star Pez dispenser?
It gets better.
Right.
It gets better. They could help help us understand... Now,
okay.
this is really getting exciting.
Finish.
I'm going to put Oprah Winfrey, Luke Skywalker, and our brains all in the one sentence.
God, I wish you wouldn't put my brain in that sentence.
Yeah. Researchers say that they have found a part of our brains which responds to distinct images and sounds
of Oprah Winfrey!
Of a person by creating a concept of them in our minds. They did this by showing people various images of famous people, including Oprah, Luke Skywalker, Marilyn Monroe... while monitoring brain activity.
Wait, it's not
Cole Richardson as well was in there amongst
them. Yeah, of course he would be, because he produces vivid images of Pachelbel, Bach and Beethoven coming up. What vivid images are you producing this evening, Cole?
It was
not Beethoven. Okay, so
it was found that whether someone saw a picture of Oprah, read her name, or even heard her talk, the same neurons in the brain lit up.
So already we know that sperm swims to a girl you find more attractive. We have this added to it as well.
Meaning specific brain cells could be used for remembering specific individuals. I think that's rather fascinating.
That's kind of cool.
I don't really
have anything to combat that with.
Yeah.
that's a really cool piece of news.
Yeah.
The only thing I have is another useless gadget, which is a 49-port USB hub that you can now get.
A 49-port USB.
It requires its own power supply, and it pushes 500 milliamps, apparently, across the thing, which is pretty freaking amazing. Yeah. But, yeah, that's it for the Gadget Grill for tonight. Are you ending this, or am I ending this?
You can end it. You've got another 25 seconds you can talk
I've got another 25 seconds I can talk for. You've been listening to the SETI special edition of the Gadget Grill, where we search for intelligent life, and we came up with...
Cole Richardson.
Cole Richardson, that's right. We came up with the 2RDJ classical... aficionado of Carl Richardson. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark. We're going to be back in the Gadget Grill at 9 o'clock next Sunday night. Have we got a special show for you?
Oh, we
next
do.
Sunday.
And if you smoke, this show is for you. We are going to set the studio on fire. Not literally, of course, you know. But well, we've got a topic that really does. It smokes, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does.
It lights up your eyes.
This is really going to catch on.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to end the show with. B.B. King from the 1970s, a fairly young compared to today B.B. King.
Oh, God, yeah. But he was still bloody good.
He was still bloody good. And we're going to end with The Thrillers Gone, live from, is it
Cook County Jail.
I was going to say Captain Cook Jail, but I'm glad
Wrong.
I didn't. Live from Cook County Jail, this is B.B. King with The Thrillers Gone. We'll see you next week. Have a good week,
Sunday
Australia.
Sunday night, 9 o'clock on RDJFM.
See you then.